Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist. We're so excited if you're visiting with us this morning. If we would ask that you just fill out, there's a little visitor's card in front of you in the pew, and if you'll just place that in the offering plate as it goes by. We just wanted to know that you were here with us this morning and learn a little bit more about you. I would encourage you to please read your bulletin to see all the different opportunities that we have coming up this week and next. And I will just point out one specific one to you that is actually a correction. Since the youth are going to be in Rockingham this week, we are going to have the trailer with us. So the supplies for the Kentucky mission trip cannot be collected until next Sunday. So just take note of that. There will be no collection this Wednesday, but it'll start next Sunday and then the following Wednesday as well. Now let us turn our hearts and minds towards worshiping God.
Youth and the adults for to be going to Deep Impact to come forward at this time. If you'll look in your bulletin, you'll see we have a commissioning of this team. We'll be doing this next Sunday with our Kentucky team that'll be leaving on the 22nd as well for a mission trip. But, you know, if we are people of the Bible and we take seriously the call to be disciples, what is about to happen is a mission trip. And our hope is eternity will be changed for some people as a result of our youth and these adults being willing to give of their time and energy to go and be a part of a very special week with others in Rockingham. So at this time, church, let me invite you to stand and we shall read this responsive reading and then I'll offer a prayer as we commission our Deep Impact team. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit.
There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord.
There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them in all people.
Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Today, we commission our Deep Impact team to use their special gifts in mission in Rockingham.
May God's Spirit work in each of you, Deep Impact team, for the common good.
Today, we also commit to you, God, the church in Rockingham, and those who are preparing for the coming of this mission team.
May God's Spirit work in all of them for the common good.
God has called us all, those who live in Sanford, and those who go as the mission team, and those who offer prayer and financial support, each one of us as partners in service, that all may come to know the abundance of life God has offered through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord, one of the things we are the most proud of at our church is our youth. They are special already in our eyes and in your eyes. And you have gifted them. And Lord, you have placed them in the midst of a world that has lost its way. And we know the way. You have given them this moment, this special time to go in your name. And Lord, in this process, you will impact Rockingham, but Lord, you'll also impact this team. And that's our prayer, is that during this time, there will be a closer drawing of our heart and minds to you, for when we do that, Lord, good things happen. That's our prayer. We pray for safety. We pray for good decisions. We pray for you to even now be anointing those divine appointments that lie before them in Rockingham. And we will pray for them this week as a church. We will remember them when they come to our mind, and then we will whisper a prayer. God, you bless them and you use them for your kingdom. And Lord, when we pray for them, may we be reminded ourselves that we are all on the mission field all the time. Here in Sanford, wherever life may take us, may we be about your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Thank you.
Okay, if you all stand and turn to hymn number 206.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to come into your house and worship and fellowship in your name. Please be with those that could not be here today, those that may be sick and suffering. Please be the comforting and healing hand that they need. Please take and bless this offering to further your kingdom. And these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Guys. Good. Oh, thank you. Someone responded. All right. We're going to keep working on that. That's okay. So I have a question for y'all this morning. Raise your hand. Does anybody at their house have rules? Do you have rules at your house? Yeah? No? No rules at your house? You just do whatever you want and just, you know. Yes, you have rules. Okay. What is one of the rules at your house? Can't play with the ball in the house. Okay, that's a good one. You might break something, right? That's why you have that rule. What else? Are there any other rules? Man, y'all's parents, they let y'all do whatever. My parents had rules for me. Do you have rules? You want to share one of your rules? You can't have anybody over before your room is cleaned. Yes, that was a rule at my house. Okay, I thought of some rules this morning that I had to follow and I still follow today. These are good rules, okay? What about this one? Do you have to brush your teeth? Yeah, you should brush your teeth. Why do you have to brush your teeth? What's the point of brushing your teeth? So you don't get cavities, right? Because you don't want cavities. What else? How about the stove? If mom or dad is cooking in the kitchen and the stove is on, are you allowed to just go up there and put your hand on it? No, right? Because it'll burn you. You're not supposed to do that. What about this last one? This one's the one that I struggle with. You can ask Pastor Gary. Eat your veggies.
veggies. That's a tough one, right? But we're supposed to do that because we're supposed to grow up big and strong, and they help us to be healthy, right? Well, today, Pastor Gary is going to be talking about this big word, and it's called sanctification. Have you ever heard that word before, sanctification? So sanctification is kind of like being holy. You've heard that term before, right? Being holy. Well, who is holy? God, right? God is holy. Well, in order to be like God and in order to be holy, God has set forth a set of rules for us to follow so that we can live a life that allows us to be holy, right? It says in 1 Thessalonians verse 7, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects these instructions does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit." So, the next time we remember and we think about those rules that we have at our house that mom and dad have put forth for us, they're there for a reason, right? They're there to protect you. They're there for your own well-being. Just like God has given us a set of rules to help us be like him so that we can live a good life, a life like God. Can we remember that this week? Let's try. Let's say a prayer. God, I thank you so much for the kids that are here this morning, Lord. God, we thank you that you give us a set of rules that are there for us to follow for our own good. Help us to live out those rules daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, as the children are returning, turn your handle to 216. Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing.
Hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is based on rules made by humans. That is why I'm going to do something completely amazing for these people once again. The wisdom of their wise people will disappear. The intelligence of their intelligent people will be hidden. How horrible it will be for those who try and hide their plans from the Lord. Their deeds are done in the dark, and they say, "No one can see us, and no one can recognize us." You turn things upside down. Is the potter no better than his clay?
As we pray today, you'll see our list, and it is long, and there are many on that prayer list. I hope we'll always take that as our divine assignment from God to pray for those people, and maybe God will put one of them or more than one on our heart and mind to call or to go see or to share some act of love and kindness. Do want to mention that Marguerite Garner is at Chapel Hill in the hospital. She will be leaving there, going into a rehab situation from there. The family has asked if anyone could help, especially with Hubert, who will be home alone, and Hubert right now is not able to do that by himself. So especially any of our men could be of assistance there. please let Cindy know. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do try to hide. All the way back to Isaiah's day. And probably some of us are here today with things we've done and things we're doing that we know are displeasing unto you. And Lord, it's easy to hide it from others. And we know when we're doing that. But Lord, sometimes we don't know when we're hiding it from ourselves. All we have to do to hide our own transgressions from ourselves is to lose touch with you. For when we lose touch with you, our sins don't seem so bad. Those habits we have that are displeasing unto you, when we don't think of you, they don't bother us. Those things we're doing that we know are wrong, when we push you off to the perimeter of our life, to the outskirts, to the margins, and even beyond, they no longer seem to bother us. So, Lord, would there be one of us here today brave enough to invite you to the center of our heart, to the center of our life at this moment, and say, oh, God, let me see with your eyes. Let me hear with your ears. Let me see you. Let me see myself as you see me. Oh, God, that's a difficult prayer to pray, but what a difference it could make in our lives, in our homes, in our community. Should we be brave enough to pray, oh, God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, even as you hear, and even as you see. Lord, I just pray for your Spirit to fall on this place with such a powerful and life-changing way that none of us would leave as we came in. I pray, oh God, for you to make the changes in our heart and in our life that would make us better men and women, boys and girls of you, O God. For I am convinced, dear Lord, if we allow you to change us, you'll change our home. And if you change our home, you'll change our neighborhood. And so, God, we know you do have the power to break cancel sin. And you can be music in the sinner's ear. So I pray, oh God, that you might speak clearly to your congregation gathered here for the purpose of worship. That you might be pleased when we offer ourselves to you honestly. And invite you to do within us what only you can. Be with those on this list that we have mentioned. Help us to be your hands and your feet and your heart as we love them as you love them. In Jesus' name we pray. in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, choir. God is holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, while you're turning there, yesterday I had stopped by, we'd stopped by the church. My wife had to put something in the Dorcas closet, and the guys were cutting the grass. You know why, don't you? We got ready to leave, and Wyatt was out in the big field, and I saw him doing, you know, all you do to get out of those mowers, you know, how you got to pull the thing. I knew he was disassembling to come see me as we rode by. And he handed me a dollar. I meant to bring it. It's on my desk. And he said, we were mowing, and we found some stuff, and I found this dollar out in the yard, and I want to give it to you. And he didn't want to give it to me. He said, that's the church's dollar. He said, the guy said, well, you know, if we find a dollar anywhere else or money, we just put it in our pocket. He said, yeah, but we aren't anywhere else. We're at the church. We've lost that, you know? I said, you bless me today. Why? That somebody sees the church as something different. I'll try to tie that in just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read the first 8 verses. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you're doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instruction we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion and lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you challenge us for a few moments today as we think of the continuing process of salvation, that we might examine our own life in light of who you are, and that today, as your Spirit has fallen upon us, might be a day of drawing closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated. And by the way, so I won't forget it, we do have 140 voted, and those that the Lord has chosen to serve as deacons for the next 4 years, beginning in September, will be Reed Cagle, Jack Marks, and Fed Walker. And I appreciate all 6 who placed their name before the Lord as an offering of service unto him. Well, we're going to continue our process of looking at salvation. I want to warn us against cheap grace. I want to warn us that what we do, it really does matter. That God is not weak, that we have not advanced beyond God, that our technology has not left God in the dust, that God is not a relic in the past or some superstitious Superman. But God is the God of creation, and God has provided a way for each of us to live eternally. We talked about that process called justification, where the wrong in us has been made right by God's grace. We talked last Sunday and said that Jesus, he paid it all. He paid for your sin and for my sin. You remember last Sunday when we held in our hand a piece of bread and then a cup? The question that always crosses my mind when I hold that piece of bread and that cup in my hand is, am I living my life the way Jesus died for me? Am I living up to that sacrifice? Now, I want to be careful before I go any further to tell us and remind us that you cannot earn your salvation. I said in the first sermon in this series, you weren't smart enough, you weren't strong enough, you didn't have the ability to earn your salvation. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that what we do once we're saved, it matters. It absolutely matters. In this day and time when the church is so needed, when the church and our witness is so needed, when we need to be growing stronger and stronger because all around us it is becoming darker and darker, I want us to hear that what we do matters. And I want to make sure we understand. Do you really understand that that word sanctification in the Greek is the same word we get, especially in the Latin, the word saint from? That you and I are called a saint. I mentioned last Wednesday night in the teaching on sanctification that in no way does Paul ever refer to the churches as churches. He doesn't use the Greek word ekklesia. He uses the word saint. He refers to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints in Thessalonica. He refers to them as saints. You and I are saints. I heard a story about some parents that were trying to help their children, their young children, live into their sainthood. All your children are saints. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Got one out of that. That was good. More than I expected. Well, what this couple in Wisconsin did was she told them that when they received Jesus, he would clean their sin. And that's true. And actually, he would make them saints. And that's true. And then toward the end of the week, she began to call them periodically saints. Saint Sawyer, Saint Miley, and Saint Charlie. All week she called them that. They were driving in the car, and one of the sons, he said, "Can I kind of be funny for just a moment?" And Mom said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I don't want to be a saint. I want to be a Packer." I wonder if we understand what being a saint really is. Sanctification. In verse 1, the last three words of verse 1, go home and write them on your refrigerator. More and more. More and more. I think some in the faith think more or less. If I've got time, yeah. If it's convenient, yeah. If it works out in the schedule, yeah. More or less. But he says, you were instructed in the Lord. You ought to walk in a way that pleases God, and you ought to do it more and more. That's the move toward sanctification. That's the moving, once you've become a believer, to moving toward that being set apart for something sacred, for something holy. Because I want you to listen to me, church. This world needs to see Christians being different than they are. Because if they don't see us being different, we have nothing to offer them. And right now they're telling us we have nothing to offer them. And so we're living more like they are than they are living like we are. We need to change that. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Through sanctification. Through moving more and more each day in your life, in your home, in your daily walk with God. Understanding more and more. I ask you every time you thought of one of the youth to pray for them. I want you to think about this sermon or church. Every time you ride by Flat Springs, I want you to pray this week, Lord, make me a better saint. I don't want to be a packer. I want to be a saint. I want to be more like you. I want to do what you've called me to do. We can't be thinking more or less, and neither can we be thinking less is more. And some have begun to think that way in church. Sanctification is more and more. It's moving more and more every day, not just in the worship, every day toward who God is and what God has to tell us. And then in verse 2, Paul wants them to understand that it is God's call, not his direction. I love what he says in verse 2. For you know what instructions we gave you. But then he says, through the Lord Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. It's God's will. God wants you to understand that the purpose of church is not to be that one place where you come and get a washing like a car wash. And then you go out and try to be as dirty as you can the rest of the week. We are to be the place where we instruct you where the detergent is, where the water is, that you can spiritually every day bathe your heart and bathe your life and bathe yourself in that sanctity of life with Christ. You see, I wonder how you come today to church. Most of you know I enjoy deer hunting. And if you are a deer hunter or any kind of hunter that might wait for your prey, you probably have discovered something. Now, I can't tell you that I haven't read a book while I was in a deer stand. I can't tell you I haven't taken a nap while I was in a deer stand. But I can tell you that most of the time when I'm in a deer stand, and especially at certain times of the day, I'm looking for a deer. And what is amazing to me is how much stuff looks like a deer. You'd be amazed. You'll be sitting out there, and all of a sudden you'll look across the field, and you'll say, I think that's a deer. That looks like a deer. And you kind of, you know, you'll stare at it. That's a deer. I know that's a deer. And then you throw up your binoculars, and it's a log, you know? That's so disappointing. Or it's a shadow. Or it's a clump of grass. Or it's the way a limb is hanging down. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've never shot at one of them yet. Yet. How'd you come to church today? Did you come anticipating God? Did you come looking like I sit in a deer stand, looking for a deer, hoping for a deer, thinking about a deer, wanting to see a deer? Did you come today looking for God, hoping to encounter God, wanting to see God today? And he begins that process of washing over your life, that process we call sanctification. The word actually means set apart for a particular use and a special purpose or work. To make holy or sacred. We're called to live sacred lives. I need to ask us, what do we need to step away from so that we might be set apart? What do we need to quit watching? Did you hear me? That we might be sacred. Are we ever watching anything on our computer screen that we wouldn't like to think the Holy Spirit's looking over our shoulder? Are we ever listening to anything on the radio that we wouldn't want the Holy Spirit of God to know we're watching? I got to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is watching every moment of every day. Be ye therefore sanctified. That's God's will. Not to be of the flesh. He goes on to describe sexual immorality. Brothers, Paul would never have imagined the sexual immorality that you and I now face in this country. And I began to think, well, what does it do? What's wrong with it? I mean, our icons, the folks that we admire, the folks we aspire to be like, many of them have told us morals don't matter. I began to just, in my mind, write down what sexual immorality in my ministry I've seen it lead to. I've seen it lead to unwanted pregnancies. I've seen teenagers become pregnant. I've seen venereal disease. I've seen emotional pain and scarring when someone thought they had found the right one and they gave that precious gift of their sexuality, and then that person broke up with them and it scarred them for life. I've seen it lead to mental illness, adultery, divorce, broken homes, prostitution, human trafficking. North Carolina is one of the leading states in our nation. I think it's number 5 in human trafficking, where we're selling women and children for sex in other places. Child abuse, pornography. I've seen it lead to murder and suicide, alcoholism and drug addiction. You reckon God knew what he was talking about when he said, be pure? You think God might have had a plan when he understood that he had given us this precious gift of our sexuality, but he had a special place for it? It was between a man and a woman in the confines of marriage. Do you think God might have known what he was talking about? I think he did. But hey, what do I know? It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And we don't want to be in the way of progress, do we, church? We just want to, well, what do we want to do? We don't want to quit watching performers. You know, I've seen some of the performers at the halftimes. Now, I guess I'm either living out what I tell you or I'm just an old fogey. You can make up your mind. But a lot of times, the only time I see some of the trash that some of us are watching all the time is at the halftime program of the Super Bowl, when they bring out some of the greatest stars, and I see some of the dances they dance and some of the things they do, and they call them a wardrobe malfunction. Brothers, it's not a wardrobe malfunction. It's a moral malfunction. And that's what's wrong with this world. And you can think it's not, and we're okay, because we are above what God's word said. We don't need to be worried about that old ancient literature. We are liberated, and we are modern, and we have the internet, and we know stuff. Everything I just read to you, you don't want me to read it again. I don't even want to read it again. But I've seen what it can do. It is God's will, he tells us in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion and the lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Church, we know God, and we've got to do what God's word teaches and tells us to do. He goes on in that passage. He says in verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. In holiness. I was reading this week, and my mind went to a thought. You can't give fresh water and salt water. You know, you can't have one eye on the cross and the other eye on Beyonce, okay? You just can't do that. You can't have one eye looking at God's word and another eye looking at pornography and think it's okay, but we've doomed ourselves and duped ourselves into thinking it is okay. And brothers and sisters, it's not okay. It's not okay. Holiness. He's called us in holiness. James understood it. In James chapter 3, I'm just going to let James, he says it better than I could, so let me let James say it. He's going to be talking about the tongue, but I'll give us this parameter. Remember, the only thing the tongue says is what the mind and the heart allow it to say. Okay, it doesn't just take off on its own. We have to think the thoughts. We have to feel the feelings before the tongue can engage. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. We're called to sanctification, to be set apart. And the world will stain the whole body if we allow that unrighteousness its place. Setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell, James says. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed, but no one has tamed. But no human being can tame the tongue, and no human being can. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things should not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? And the answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? And the answer is no. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, by being sanctified. I'm going to put those words in James's mouth. By his good conduct, by sanctification, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's unscriptural, and it's demonic. Did you hear what James just said? There is a wisdom that would tell you being sanctified is wrong, and he says it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, sanctified, pure. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, we have a choice today, you and I, to live holy, pure lives, to allow our tongues and our minds to be pure and to be holy, to be set apart, to understand that we are instructed by God. But it is God's will that we who are on the road to salvation are being sanctified every day. We're being made more in his likeness every day. Because I tell you, if we can sanctify our heart and we can sanctify our mind, it'll sanctify our tongue, and it'll sanctify our eyes. And it'll sanctify our ears. He ends this message with a strong warning. Verse 8. Therefore, whoever disregards this, whoever says being sanctified doesn't matter, whoever says, oh, he doesn't understand 2017, he doesn't live in our world, he doesn't know what it's like to be an American, all he says was old-timey stuff, it doesn't matter. Here's what he says. Whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God. Not man, but God. Not the church, not the preacher, not your parents, but God. If I were to ask anyone who is willing to stand up today and say, I totally disregard God in this gathering, I doubt anyone would. We could probably go to another gathering in Sanford and have many stand up. But in this place, where we love the Lord with all our heart, and all our mind, and all our strength, and all our possessions, and all our hobbies and all our habits and all of our internet and all of our TV and all of our music. Be holy. Be holy. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter, verse 48 says, "Be therefore perfect as your Father is in heaven." You know what everybody thinks when I read that verse? Nobody's perfect. That first thought you had? Nobody's perfect. But you know what Satan does with that thought? Nobody's perfect, so don't worry about it. Nobody's perfect, so don't worry about it. Nobody's perfect, don't worry about it. But Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven." What did he say? Be sanctified. Be thinking every day. Be keeping God right before your heart and your mind all the time. Why do we want you to read your Bible every day? Because you will be inundated by this world that will teach you unrighteousness on every corner. And if you're not staying in God's holy word, you have no defense. You're like a sheep for the slaughter. And so we'll begin to think all kind of thoughts. We'll begin to justify all kind of behavior. We'll begin to think everything's okay as long as, well, most everybody else is saying it is. And I want to remind us, there's one word of God, and that's the only reminder we should ever be following, is God's word and God's will. The instruction is found in this book. But you remember what he said? He said that through the Lord Jesus that you'd be sanctified. That's the will of God. And then he says, who gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can abide in imperfect people. But listen to what I'm fixing to tell you and tell me. The Holy Spirit will not abide in a dishonest heart. Salvation is free. God paid for it in full on the cross. But those who've been saved are going to be moving toward holiness every day, more and more. More and more. That will involve making decisions. That will involve changing things. That will involve adding things and taking things away. That will involve changing what we think and how we think. That'll change what we read. That'll change the songs we hear. That'll change our tongue when our heart changes. This morning, this is a sermon I needed to hear. There are areas in my life that I need to give more to God. How about you? There's some changes I need to make. How about you? Oh, brothers and sisters, God has blessed us with a glorious church for 112 years in this place. And it's always been valuable. But it's never, ever been more valuable than it is today. And it's never been needed to be strong like it is today. And it's never been needed to be standing firm like it needs to stand firm in love today. The world is going to hell around us. Do you see it? Do you understand that? I'm not speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally. The world is going to hell around us. And they need sanctified believers. Folks who've been set apart to
show them the way, to give them the message that Jesus paid it all. If you're here today and you don't know Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of your sins, today I want you to know your debt has, we sang that song, and those words just, he pays for canceled sin. Your sin has already been forgiven. All you have to do is receive the voucher. I had a 10% off coupon at Food Lion this Saturday, and I left it at the house. Didn't do me any good because I didn't have it with me. You've already been forgiven. Your salvation has already been, all you got to do is receive it. But you got to receive it. And I want to encourage you today, as the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, to receive it. And brothers and sisters, that's a biblical term for disciples, for Christians. Brothers and sisters, each one of us, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying more and more. And I think each one of us knows what that means in our heart. More and more. More and more. Not more or less. Not less is more. More and more. As God speaks, may we listen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, here we are at this moment, the culmination of our worship. We've heard your voice. We sang, our choir sang, how holy you are. We sang, bless your holy name. But now we need to leave this place living blessed lives, sanctified lives. Lives set apart that tomorrow we won't be putting forth cursing and blessing, only blessing. We won't be giving forth salt, bitter water, and fresh water, only fresh water. We won't be figs trying to grow grapes. We'll only be producing the fruit of the Spirit. We need you, O God, to strengthen us because life is a challenge. Before we leave, before we go to bed tonight, there will be the opportunity to engage in some level of immorality. We'll be inundated by our television, by our radio, by the things that the world says are okay. And you call us to be sanctified, and you said, if you disregard this, you disregard me. Oh God, may not a one of us leave this place today disregarding you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 3. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. And if you're here today and you're a believer and the Lord is laying something on your heart, maybe you need to make a public decision. I want you to do that. But each of us, as we sing this hymn, have an opportunity to say to our Lord, help me this week to be sanctified in how I live. And then, and only then, can we make a difference in our world as we stand together.
Thank you.
know that you'll be remembering Deep Impact Team as they are gone with other youth around our state and other locations, but we'll be praying for them especially. They're leaving at 9:30 in the morning, and I'm going to gather with them to pray. If y'all want to come, come on down. We'll have a prayer to send them off, and we're excited about what God's going to be up to in their lives this coming year. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. We might be His sanctified people in the midst of all this people. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, go with us from here. For there is much to do. We need to be poking holes in the darkness with your blessed and holy light. Give us strength to go out from this place with a new zeal in our walk with you, to live more like you created us and more like you desired for us to do and more like you died on Calvary's cross that we might do. In Jesus' name.